Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever considered how confusing it is to be part of the Christian church lately in this world that we live in? It's a confusing thing because in the world in which we live, this current time, but also just the world in general, there is so much praise for the individual. Especially here in the United States, you know, we really praise the individual for their individual strength and individual, you know, sort of fortitude to go on and do things and make themselves something. We always talk about the self-made millionaire, you know, that they do all of their things by themselves. We do the same in the church, by the way. It's very much an individual thing, especially when we look historically. Even in the scriptures, in Hebrews, where it outlines all of the heroes of faith, we look to the individuals, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and we single out these sort of heroes of the Christian faith, or of the faith, of people of God, are these singular heroes. And yet, we know you can't do it by yourself. I don't know any of us who would claim to have achieved everything all on their own. And if you have, you really ought to look around you some more, because chances are there were people in your life that helped you get to where you got to. You know, you didn't do it all by yourself. In our church, we don't do it all by ourselves. We're coming up on the anniversary of the 102nd anniversary, right? We'll celebrate on November the 6th, and we can look throughout history and realize it was never just one person. Yes, there were pastors who were leaders at the times, but the pastors didn't do it themselves. No pastor worth his salt would say he's done anything by himself. That's just not the way that it works. We look through history and we see all of the people and the groups and the families that were part of this church, and we know nobody does this by themselves. Nobody. We all need one another to do this. In our reading from Ruth, you have Ruth and Naomi, right? Now, Naomi was ready to go on by herself. She was going to go on to Judah by herself. She was realizing, and she was being very gracious. You know, go back to your mothers-in-law and they'll take care of you. She was ready to go and do it by herself, and Ruth was like, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to do it by yourself. You need one another. You need each other. Paul's letter to Timothy, it's nothing about doing anything by yourself. It's all about if we live with Christ, we die with Christ. We are not on our own. We don't stand before God on our own merits by ourselves, because if we did, well, we wouldn't get very far. And yet we praise the individual. We encourage our children to be individual. To pursue their own things, to do their own stuff, to be their own, and yet we know you're not going to do it on your own. It's such a confusing thing. We can't do it by ourselves. Above all things, we need Jesus. In this life, in this world, in this church, we need Jesus. We can't do this without him. Because if we do this, gathering together and singing songs without him, we're just a club that likes to get together and sing. And there are places for that. If you want to do that, go ahead. That's not why we're here. Yes, you are individuals sitting in the pews, but you are not individuals gathered here. This is the body of Christ. And individually, we are members of it, as Paul says. We are part of the body. We are here together. And I know that when somebody we know is missing, for whatever reason, we go, huh, they're not here. There's a part of the body missing. There's somebody who's not here. It's not an individual thing. We're not thinking, yes, I bet you they're out on their own and forging their own path and doing their own thing. That's great for them. No, we say we miss them. This Christian faith in life is a together thing. We don't do it on our own, and we need Jesus. Because it's Jesus who puts us all together. It's Jesus who brings it all together. It's Jesus who is, he's all in with us. We are part of him, and he is part of us. And part of that confusing Christian life will continue on when we talk about suffering. I don't want to get into the whole theology of suffering and that, but I do have to mention that in our readings, there was much suffering. The Christian faith and life, being a people of God, does not mean we don't suffer. Right? We're God's chosen people, so all is great. Never have any problems. Life is always grand. I always look on the bright side of life, and all works out to the best. No. We often refer to that as bumper sticker theology. Right? If it fits on a bumper sticker, it ain't right. Because this stuff you can't fit on a bumper sticker. Ruth and Naomi suffered. The losses that they suffered. Did you hear the losses that they suffered? Husbands, sons, they suffered losses regularly. And at one point, it was just the three of them. Ruth, Naomi, Orpah. And then Orpah went, and then it was just the two. Knowing that there was famine, knowing that there was food shortage, they said, we have to go someplace where we can find at least something to eat. They were suffering. Now, we love to avoid suffering at all costs, right? We'll do anything to not suffer. We want to avoid it. And yes, sometimes we shouldn't go looking for it. Right? Don't go looking for suffering because you'll find it really easily. But suffering is part of our lives. It's part of living in this world. Suffering is, it goes with it. It's part of who we are. And again, we will try everything we can to avoid suffering and minimize suffering. We don't want to suffer. But people of God, suffering is what we do. It's what we do together. We suffer together. It's one of those things that binds us, our mutual suffering. Without it, well, again, do you know that person? They never have any troubles in their life. They do everything perfectly. They have this perfect, amazing life. Maybe it only shows up online, but it's a perfect and amazing life. We all suffer. And the beauty of suffering within the church is that we get to suffer together. And not only that, we have one who suffered everything, who suffered more than we will ever know, more than we can ever imagine, more than we can possibly understand. Jesus suffered it all for us. Suffered death, suffered burial, suffered descending into hell, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, suffering, rising again, and coming back to this world. Talk about suffering. But we have Christ who suffered all, Christ who knits us all together, Christ who suffers with us and makes us one. And once we get to that point where we're starting to get a clue as to what this is all about, because we only get clues, right? We never get it fully explained to us what this is truly all about. In fact, we're always learning. I don't know anybody who has learned it all yet. There are people who know a lot, but not anybody who's learned it all. And we get to that point, and then we start hearing... We start hearing the Beatles song, Get Back, Get Back, get back to where you once belonged, right? So now that you've gotten to this point, you start to hear that voice that says, it's time to get rid of it. You don't need that stuff. You don't need all of these people. You're a self-made person. So now, go back. Go back to the way you used to do it because that was working for you. Go back to the way that it used to be. Oh, we long for the way that it used to be. And there were good things. But we can't go back. We know we can't go back, right? Right? You know we can't go back. Okay. Whew. Because, and again, not that we don't have good memories of the back, but we can't go back there. That doesn't work. We can't return to the way it used to be. Not even in ourselves. You can't go back to the way it used to be. Think about that. For some of you, going back to the way it used to be, no. I don't ever want to go back there. I got this far. No, I didn't get this. We got this far. Me and Jesus and everybody got this far. I don't want to go back. And you see in our reading from Ruth that Naomi's like, go back. Go back to the way where you came from. Go back to these places. And Ruth is like, I can't. I can't go back there. Because life is different now. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your people are my people. I can't go back. I can't go back. And here in our church and here in the faith and here with Jesus, we can't go back and we don't want to. We want to embrace who Jesus is in all things at this time, in this place, with these people. We can't go back. We can't run from the suffering. And we can't do it all on our own. We need one another. And we need Jesus. We need Jesus with us. Not only do we need Jesus with us, we need Jesus for us. And that's what the cross is all about. Jesus for you. Jesus for you and for me. Jesus for us. His death on the cross, his taking on of sin, wasn't just one sin or an individual sin or a piece of sin or even a part of, it was all sin for all time, for all people, in all places, Jesus died for them. That includes you and me, thankfully. Jesus is all in for us, for his church, for his people. And yes, even for the individual, Jesus is for you. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and our minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.